What's up, everyone? It's Gavin or Tweak.
What's good? What's good? It's Marcus or Pink.
What up? What up? It's Charles or Chuck.
And what's going on? It's Matt or Has. After a long day of travel for three of us, we're back and ready to record our podcast. Oh, God, you can tell I'm tired. Let's run through it. We got to hit the shills before I pass out here. First and foremost, shouts to the throne. And with that, shout-outs to Zenny, our sponsor. They actually hooked it up at the event itself with custom Throne merch. Oh, come back to me, Chris, real quick. The custom merch, where this is like a glasses case that we have here, a little pouch, a lens wipe with the Throne. Am I lagging? With the Throne sigil on it. Emblem. There's the word. There you go. I'm catching up. Glasses case. Look at all this stuff, chat. I'm not kidding. They really hooked it up. I was actually thoroughly impressed.
Yeah,
with how hard they went on our branding for all the merch. Like, truly, and you saw us. We were in glasses. Those Zenny glasses we were wearing. Coney was wearing the entire event. I wore them for most of the event. Charles wore them for most of the event. And a lot of that was, A, they look good, and B, they had that blue light blocker, which I really like because I sit here and work on my computer all day and at the throne staring at monitors all day. It's good for your eyes, so check them out. They offer affordable eyewear for everyone. Sunglasses, prescription, the blue light blockers, all that good stuff. Contacts, migraine lenses, which is great. I might have to pick those up for my wife. And more. Make sure you use the code THRONE15. You'll get 15% off site-wide. That's the entire site. Use our link. Use our code. It helps us a lot. And they were actually super cool. We did a giveaway on the final day. It was lit. Like, for real. They were a very, very fun and cool sponsor. I really hope we work with them again. That's no bullshit. Check them out. Zenny is the name of them. They've done other events before. Like, I've seen them before. I'm really happy we were able to work something out with them for the throne. The next thing is, speaking of the throne, make sure you check out the shop. It's the start.gg page. We'll have it linked in the comments on YouTube. The shop closes this week. The podcast goes live on Wednesday. I think it closes on Friday. So make sure you buy that merch. It really does help out the event a lot. We want to keep running thrones. They're awesome events. I was really happy with how everything went this year, somehow even better than the year before. Plus, the merch is really clean, so make sure you check that out. It's just start.gg, and it's the Throne 2, and the shop closes on Friday, so make sure you get that done. And then the final piece is our Patreon, of course. Again, Throne-centric stuff here. Patreon.com/TweakTalks. And this week, it'll be me and Charles and Gavin, mostly talking about the Throne behind-the-scenes stuff for me and Charles with production and how we came up with our list of people we voted in and all that stuff, and a lot of fun stories along the way. And also, I want Marcus in there too, obviously, as a spectator. Like, it's such a good point of view to have in there. So the four of us will be talking more in depth about the throne on the Patreon episode, behind the scenes production and a lot of fun stuff with the tournament, fun stories and all that good stuff that we won't get to today. And with that, the show is over. What's going on, everyone? How you doing, Charles?
Good stuff. Yeah, I'm doing good. The event was amazing. I had a amazing time at the event. Got to hang out with essentially all of my friends that I can't see too much nowadays, just because I can't go to every single Smash tournament anymore since I'm so busy with work back here at home. So it does feel nice to be back at home and get back to work, getting back into the groove of things. But the throne was just such a fun event, so just had a really good time. What about you, Marcus?
Life's good. It was a fun tournament to watch. Not much going on the side. That's good, though, because normally if something's going on, I have to report on it. I'm like, oh, gosh, it's something bad. But we've been chilling.
All your cars are still there.
They are still there. I just looked out the window, too. Like, hey, like, what's going on? Actually, well, like, one thing that has come from it is, like, I really should just figure out some sort of security system. But I'm, like, super, like, anxious that, like, for some reason, like, I'll just, like, the car's just not going to be there when I look out the window. So I actually, like, stay up really late, just, like, staring out my window. Not staring. Like, I'm obviously doing other things because my computer's right here. But I just, like, look out my window every, like, 15. Like, oh, hey, it's still there. So I talked to my wife about it. I'll get over it. But it's just, yeah. Anyway, how's it going, Has?
It's great. I'm tired. I'm sure. I hate to say I'm tired because I know Charles and Gavin are for sure as well. It's just, especially Gavin, I know he gets it. It's such a, well, Charles, it's not like it's a short flight for you either, but it's like a 12-hour travel day going from West Coast to East Coast, especially San Jose, because there's no direct flights there. And it's either you take an Uber to San Francisco, which is an hour and, you know, $120 or whatever. And So it's either you take a long Uber and a long expensive Uber, or you take a long travel day through the airports, and it is what it is. So it was a long day yesterday. I got back to work today and I was getting crushed at work, and it's just a lot. But to be honest, I still got a smile on my face at the end of the day, because like the throne is such a special event. And I tweeted about this, but it really is a labor of love, where a group of friends wanted to host a tournament. And I think everyone sits there and says, if I ran a tournament, here's how it would go, and it would be the best. It's like, well, we actually did that shit. And it means a lot to me that we're able to pull it off and have it be awesome and have it be, I know I'm biased here, but be one of the events of the year for sure. The vibes are just so amazing in person at the Guild House. The tournament sets on Sunday were outstanding. And I think we're getting better and better at having some entertaining and interesting side events as well. Something we're always looking to grow at. And I think the event went, especially front facing, like for you guys watching, went really well. There are a lot of things I'd like to improve behind the scenes, but I think in total, I'm proud of the team. And I'm really happy, and I'm really happy to be home and to be catching up on my sleep. And I'm sure, Gavin, you feel the same way.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm really tired. I would prefer to sleep for a week if I could pick anything to do right now.
Hold on now.
Yeah, I had a good time.
We got TCG to grind. Come on, man.
Of course. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had a great time. I mean, like Charles said, like, it was just great to see y'all. I haven't seen some of y'all in a little bit. That's the best part for sure. And I like the area too. It's very familiar at this point because of Genesis plus the throne. Like it's very, very familiar. And I always like that kind of thing. I got B like a little coffee gift.
Shout out to Nirvana Soul.
Got to see some friends. Shouts to Blaze, Alex, and Cheese for coming through. Just shouts to everyone who I chatted with and all that. I got fifth, which I'm like, I want to be like, oh, that's pretty good, whatever. But I'm actually like disgusted with it. But it is what it is. But yeah, it was a great event. I think it always is and always will be, to be honest. Y'all always nail it. And, you know, we did some Tweak Talk stuff. I did a decent amount of casting, actually.
Yeah, you got on the mic quite a bit.
Yeah.
I commentated at least a few sets, which was cool.
You saw Donkey Kong sets with... You're like, I'm hopping on.
Mars, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Mars came up. He's like, oh, you want to commentate? I was like, yeah, if it's with you too, like, I'm super down. So, yeah, it was a great weekend. Lots of just a variety of things, you know. Good to see everyone. Played a little bit of Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, it just felt like it was a good variety of experiences and all that.
Yeah. One of the things I feel bad about with the throne is I feel like I never give enough people their props, like, for doing all the work that they do and getting everything done. But I mean, while we're here, I just want to say I really appreciate you, Gavin. Like, you dude, you went above and beyond. Like, players, especially you obviously care about competing above all else. So it'd be easy for you to sit there and be like, oh, I want to rest, or I want to play friendlies, or I'm gonna focus. But you did do a lot of commentary, and you did a lot. You did the podcast. You were early to the podcast, which I really appreciated. And you fucking killed it. And I just really want to say I appreciate you, man. And I'm proud of all the work that you did out of bracket and in bracket, obviously. I know it's not the result that you wanted, but, you know, you still played really good Smash on Friday and Saturday. And it is what it is on Sunday. But really appreciate you putting in all the extra work and all the extra effort and being a sweet roommate. And Charles, obviously, I know you're busy as fuck these days. It's not easy to make any time to do any of this stuff. So I just want to say I appreciate you coming in early, too. It was, I don't know about you, but that was a great mini vacation that we had.
Yeah, I had fun.
For the chat that doesn't know, Charles and I flew in on Tuesday and basically just caught up on life, had some good food, some good drinks, played a bunch of Yu-Gi-Oh!, a bunch of video games. It was just like a little boys' weekend for a couple of days. Yep. Yep, yeah. Played Smash, went to the Guild House.
We called Haz a Game & Watch Simulator.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, both your characters just up the anti-army or Game & Watch. I have to play it. You're just Game & Watch to me.
I know. You were now the second person that told me I should just play Game & Watch, which is very worrisome. But either way, we're going to ignore that and keep moving on. Yeah, I just appreciate you guys. And Marcus, too. I don't know if you watched the live episode, but definitely one of the first things I said is that we all wish you were there, obviously. It's not the same when all four of us aren't there. Like, the live episodes are still sick, but it's not the same without all four of us, or at least that's the way I feel. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My bad.
Someone's got to watch your cars, so don't worry about
it. Thank you. You're locked
I understand. We got to get you a ring, dude. That's what I have. I watched my car while I was flying. Actually, my ring was going off. I was like, who's in my garage? Who's in my front door? I get to watch all that shit. I was like, well, I'm flying over Ohio. I don't really know what I'm going to do about it.
Yeah, right? That's the thing. I'm like, oh, I can get this stuff. But then, like, if it's like 4 at 3 a.m., like, I'm asleep. Like, what's that going to do for me? I'm going to wake up, like, or from at home. Like, anyway.
One of the ideas is that even just having cameras there is a deterrent because people, you know, most crimes are crimes of opportunity. Yeah. Like, oh, I don't see anything. I'm going to go and do this. So either way, a whole nother aside, but let's dive into the throne. Let's talk about it a little bit from, I think, a bracket point of view, from top to bottom, left to right, everything. What do you guys got?
I mean, we can start with day one. I feel like following Gavin's journey. I mean, for me and Haz, I can TLDR it. It's, you know, doing a bunch of staff stuff, doing a bunch of schedules, refining schedules, making sure all getting the food's food, there.
Doing paperwork, yeah.
Yeah,
I know.
Getting W-8s, W-9s from staff and players. Like, it's just a lot of admin stuff and then actual casting. So that stuff's pretty boring. And then we also just get to hang out with our friends too, like at the venue between all of this stuff. So that's kind of our POV. But I mean, Gavin, how was day one for you?
I think one of the most interesting things is my specific group did really well in the final bracket overall. I got fifth place. Candle got fifth place.
Yep.
Rimu got seventh.
Yeah.
And
then losers run. Yeah.
So we all got top eight except Cola, but Cola did beat Shattuck, and did well. Like beat Candle in the groups. So overall, I thought it was very cool that my group did really well as a collective. My group was me, Cola, Candle, and Rimu, and I thought it was very favorable for me. Like I said on the podcast, I think before we left, and it ended up being true. I won every set, playing pretty well in some of them. I think I played best against Rimu, and then versus Candle, I thought it was almost really good until I had like an SD and lost a game. And then versus Cola, I thought I played terrible, but I still managed to win 3-1. So that was cool. Like, not having to do Gauntlet is amazing. Like,
such, yeah. Yeah. Like, you and Paris were very clear on that. Being like, yes, no Gauntlet. I'm done. Yeah,
like, it cuts out a lot of a potential busy day. So, like, just not losing any sets or, like, having to deal with any tiebreakers or anything chaotic like that is cool. Because usually at events like this, I'll end up making it in winner's bracket, but, like, the most difficult method possible. Like, I lose a bunch of sets and then I win the gauntlet and tiebreakers and it's just like, oh my gosh. So that was cool.
And just a side note as well, Saturday is the busiest day of the event. You know, obviously the top 16 bracket is the super hype part of the event on Sunday, but just actual hours that players have to play or you know, commentators have to commentate or staff be staff in and production and all that stuff, right? So that's the longest day. So I think as a player, it makes a lot of sense where it's like, okay, the longest day where I could potentially play the most amount of sets, you don't really have to go through there.
Yeah. And then, so by the time I was finished for a while, we were thinking my opponent was Leo, but then turns out that wasn't finalized. So by the time it was finalized, my opponent was Spargo, and I was like, okay, cool. Like, that's someone that beat me not that long ago. And I lost game 5 to Spargo. I really don't know. Certain stages felt pretty rough, and I just really need to figure out like a new game plan for Cloud. I think like I might have to scrap everything and start from square one and see where that takes me. So that put me in the losers. I was having a flare up, so I tried to like take some medication and do anything I could to for my next set. And my next set was Tilde. Tilde beat Chunky Kong. I think he played really well versus Chunky Kong. He cleaned it up pretty nicely. And then I beat Tilde 3-0. I think there was a close call at one point, but overall it was just favorable matchup and all that stuff.
I think he made a pretty big comeback on the last game.
I think it was the second game.
Second game, one of the two, I can't remember.
Game three was the only one that was like super clean for me, I think.
Maybe that's what it was.
And then my next opponent was the winner of Cola Zachary, which I thought was hilarious because if I had to play Cola, that would have been a rematch from my group. And then the loser's bracket match above us was Remu Candle, which was our group, and a rematch. So I thought it would just been funny if it was just all four of us, like, right next to each other. But and I also thought Cola would beat Zachary. I don't know. I just kind of felt it. But Zachary beat Cola. I think it was 3-0 or 3-1 as well. So I had to play Zachary, which is – I'm super down for that. Big fan of Zachary. Haven't played Zachary in a long time. And I kind of just cleaned it up 3-0. Like, there was really no problems that occurred throughout the set.
You haven't played him since maining Diddy Kong, right?
Yeah, I wasn't even close to maining Diddy Kong yet the last time we played. Like, right. he wasn't even on the brain yet. So that was my first top eight match. And then I had to play Hurt. I wanted to make it. So I was being a little realistic to myself. I thought this is where I'd have to bow out this round for fifth because I had to play Hurt or Light. And I wanted to get there to play them. But I thought in the back of my head, this is probably where I was going to have to bow out. Just because the universe wasn't very kind to me. But it was a run back and I did want to try my best. But I was really upset losing to Hurt because it just felt like I didn't put up a fight at all. That's another one where I'm just going to have to do a deep dive.
Define put up a fight like you.
Like 3-0, it just felt like I didn't really have anything to provide to the set.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Like just to like the Sparga one is different because like, oh, game five. Like I hate losing game five. It feels like it happens more frequently than not lately. But still, at least it like. Losing 3-0 and then like feeling hopeless and like not really knowing what the hell is going on, like that sucks. But like I said, I kind of figured that that's where I was going to have to bow out, but I was still super upset about it. And then, so because I wasn't feeling well, I brought like my duffel bag to the venue on Sunday because I brought a change of clothes because I wasn't sure how I was going to feel. Like, oh, is it going to be hot in there or whatever? Like, I had sweats or shorts, like, just this, depending on the venue temperature. And then after I lost to Hurt, I was so out of it, I guess, that I just forgot my duffel bag was up in the caster room. So I went to my hotel, took a bunch of meds, passed out, woke up, like, super early, and, like, my brain was like, oh, my God. Like, my duffel bag, like, it didn't have that much stuff in it, but I can't pack all my stuff in my room until I got my duffel bag. So I'm, like, trying to figure out how I can get to Guild House, get my bag. I'm texting everyone. Haz is actually helping me out, and he's flying. So shouts to Haz.
Salt Lake City.
Shouts to Ray and Flo for helping me out. I managed to get there with, like, couple hours to spare until my flight, get like walk all the way to Guild House, and by this time I can tell that I'm like, it's not even like Crohn's sick, I can tell that I'm getting sick. So like I'm like walking like a zombie to Guild House. I get my duffel bag, I pack my stuff, make my flight. B was freaking out because I was telling her like, oh, I might have to get a different flight, I might have to stay at this hotel for an extra day. So that was chaotic, but shouts to everyone who helped me out. in general, to be honest, like, because I wasn't feeling well on Sunday. Y'all were very accommodating. And I tried my best. I got to fifth place. Almost beat Spargo. Game five was not that close, though. But it was a good weekend for sure. Shouts to that food marketplace, bro.
Oh, the food court, yeah. The
place is bad, like. I actually did not eat there once that weekend. Can you believe that?
Silly. That is how That's silly crazy. Of you.
There's a lot of great places. I have La Vix. Oh, La Victoria. Come on, Ooh. Man. Great chorizo, La Victoria. Great food in that area. Like you said, Gavin, I just love that area has really become a special place for sure. Like you said, between a couple Genesis and the Thrones. At this point, it rules. I think too, like, one thing I really wanted to touch on talking about your pool is Candle is like one of my favorite players that has ever been voted to like any tournament. They did exceptionally well, mostly on Championship Sunday. Pools phase, I believe I have the results pulled up here. Lost to you and lost to Cola, but 3-0'd Rimu. Yes. Then went on to pool stages and lost to Tilde right away, which put them into losers starting on Sunday. But then I had a good matchup against Drybe in general.
See you, Chuck.
Chuck's gone again. Dude! Oh, you're doing Phil's emote. That's cool.
oh, Phil's emote,
dude,
yeah.
I know how tight that makes you, dude. just file a claim on Twitch, dude. It's no big deal.
I'm just going to... he's going to get a big check, and he's going to get a text from me.
Beating Drybe, who I also was a huge fan of, by the way. That kid grinded. He was the first one. I believe he was the first one in the venue on Friday when everything started, I'm pretty sure. So Drybe absolutely killed it. It's always fun to see Pichu bounce back. Just such a volatile character in so many different ways. But bad draw, because like the old stereotype is still true about EU and how they don't have any Olimars to play against and how Olimar is just a problem for that region in general. And I feel like that's not a great matchup for Pichu anyway. I feel like Olimar just kills Pichu.
It's historically a bad matchup even before DLC and all that stuff. Like, mm-hmm. It was the worst matchup in the old days of Ultimate, so.
Yeah, so that's just tough for Drybe. Still took a game, though, which is cool, because, like I said, I was a big fan of Drybe as well. Candle then beat Mudace and 3-0'd Rimu again, then lost to Spargo, but still took a game in Olimar Cloud. Don't know how that's possible.
That's a tough Candle, matchup. That's a tough
Candle in general, too, just terrible. Played a lot, and they did the game show, which is cool, which you also did, Gavin, again.
Yeah.
Can't say I appreciate you enough. That was really cool of you to do. And Candle did the game show. Great personality, and it's exactly what you want to see from a vote-in. It's someone who worked their ass off, participated in everything we asked them to, went above and beyond, and then also did really well in bracket, improved it. And I think we always knew this about Candle. They have a win on Hurt. They're a player who has gotten good results kind of sporadically throughout their career, I think just because they haven't been given too many opportunities. So when Candle showed up and took care of business, I know the Midwest wasn't surprised. I wasn't either, but this was a really, really, really good result. And I'm very happy for Candle. I just want to say I really appreciate them coming up to the event and showing up and doing really well. And I know that they have to be proud of themselves, and I want to say we are too. The Throne is, and so is their region. So very good stuff. It's so cool to see Votans do well, because it's like, dude, people – I feel like there's so much pressure if you're a Votan. Like, you have to do well. Like people you know, most likely mostly people you know, literally paid for that experience. And I have to say Candle and Drybe for sure delivered. And I'd even say Mars too. I know Mars did not do well in the main bracket. Did great in Rivals, put on a hell of a show Rivals. Commentated a lot, was a good sport about a lot of things, and it's just a good presence and chill to be around. So I'm happy that Mars was there. Obviously, I'm always happy to hang out with him and catch up with him. He was just great to have around.
They remind me of like Shiny Mark, right? Mm. Where like I don't know if it's to Shiny Mark's degree, because Shiny Mark is winning like super majors and could potentially win like P tiers and stuff, but when they get their opportunity, they very much make it count. They're going to get a big W. They got the win on Hurt before, like you mentioned. They got the win on Akola, even though I think that didn't count. So, a ton of good wins. Definitely a good player. When you see him in the bracket, they're just it's just something that you're going to have to look out for sure. So it's always cool to see them at an event, see them perform well. And yeah, sometimes all people need is an opportunity, which is like a big part of the vote-ins is what I like, because in an open bracket, you might get the opportunity once, you know what I mean? Like, you're seated to play this super top player. Let's see, say you're seated to play Gavin. Like if this were an open bracket and Kendall were seated to play Gavin, well, they lost and then they go on the losers, and they're probably not going to get another opportunity to play a Gavin like player unless they make a very long run and get close to losers top eight qualifier, you know what I mean? But at these types of events, like, they get so many opportunities with the pools, with the gauntlet stage, to really prove themselves and like solidify where they probably are skill level wise. And like, yeah, the format's a little different, so you can do a lot more studying compared to like an open bracket where like upsets are more likely to happen, but you still get to see that they have the potential to be at a certain level, you know what I mean? So it was cool. Always a fan of Kendall. Whenever they show up in an event, I expect big things to happen. So.
Yeah, I think all the vote-ins had at least something they could walk away with and feel proud about for sure. Till they had a couple of nice wins, including one on Kendall, which, you know, those stocks went up. Chunky Kong got, I believe it was reverse 3-0. I know it was at least a game five against Shattuck, right? Yes. Was that a reverse 3-0?
Yes. Yeah.
Insanity, just insanity. And Drivey,
very
obviously,
close. With Hurt too for Chunky, like
that. Yeah, dude. Well, dude. I mean, it's just because if Chunky didn't camp him so much, I think he would have. Dude, so okay, chat. Also, you missed that on day. I think it was day one. We had Hurt come up and we did an interview with Hurt. He was talking about him versus Chunky, and Hurt was like, I don't know why Chunky was camping me. He's like, you guys saw that, right? Like Chunky Kong was camping me like crazy. We're like, okay, all right, you got it, Hurt. So that became a joke all weekend. But I don't think that translated, because we said that on Sunday and everyone's like, what are you talking about? Hurt's the one that's camping. We're like, oh, man. Like, damn it. That joke didn't translate. What was I going to say? And then Drybee, too, because I also saw Drybee make a tweet about how he was frustrated. Because, I mean, I know, obviously, like, the pools and the gauntlet, like, all that stuff matters. But he did end up technically getting last place. But, I mean, he went game five against Spargo. He got a win on Mars and a win on Shattuck. Like, that's still a really good weekend overall. It just didn't happen in the part of the bracket that would affect your placements, right? So, yeah. And I think Drybee, like, just checking social media, I definitely think Drybee made maybe the biggest splash out of all of the invitees that were there, or all the people who were voted, or sorry, out of all the people the who voted. Were voted in. So, yeah, for sure. People talking about Pichu again, people talking about Drybee talking his shit, which I really appreciated. I thought that was great. It was just good, and I just love all of that for the vote-ins and also for the event. Like, it just really worked out exceptionally well. Reboo had a couple great wins too, obviously, just played really well. Yeah, I don't know. I'm really happy with how everything went. And I think everyone who got voted in for sure should feel pretty proud of what they did at the event. Always something to take away.
Yeah, and I think us having so much vote-in slots this year, so for Watch the Throne, the first one, we only had 3 vote-in slots. And then for this year, we had 6. So I love the vote in Magic because there's so many different regions that can get behind players and get players into this event and give them opportunities like you guys were talking about, right? I think that was something that we all loved about Summit events. And I think that vote in process transferred really, you know, well over for the Throne. And it was just sick to see all the different players get opportunities. I know Chunky didn't do very well, but I'm a huge fan of Chunky Kong. I love seeing someone try to push a character that has clearly obvious flaws. And on top of that, I love the fact that we can also see that journey as well, right? Because we know the limitations of Donkey Kong, but I mean, watching Chunky versus Hurt was like, Jesus Christ, like, this character is so much better than your character. But there are certain opportunities or windows where Chunky can make a big difference, maybe even get the win, right? And we even saw that Chunky versus Rima, I had a lot of fun watching that set, even though there was sequences of Min Min just doing the same thing over and over again for like 5 or 6 times in a row. But hey, that's the matchup, right? That's what makes it tough. So seeing every single part of it is so cool. And even, you know, at other tournaments, watching Chunky take sets off of Light, like, notoriously throughout Ultimate history, that matchup's pretty much thought of as pretty unwinnable for Donkey Kong, but Punky thinks it's even himself and has a bunch of tech for it. So I think seeing all of that, the Chunky Kong felt like the newer part, but even having Drybee with Pichu and talking about Pichu in 2024, mm-hmm. honestly, this tournament felt like a Smash Boomer's dream to watch because it was pretty much all the classic players, like even Zachary, like we're going way back. Some of these player matchups hasn't happened for 3-4 years, like Zachary Tweak, Zachary Leo, things like that. So it had a very nostalgic feel, and even to the point with certain characters as well. Like it wasn't Void up there playing Pichu, but it was like Drybee playing Pichu, getting set wins, actually showing that the character can still do it in 2024 with at least this character pool of, you know, for the throne. So yeah, it just felt so sick. And even for spectators that started watching Ultimate maybe like post-quarantine, I think this tournament would still be cool for them because they get to see what made these other players so magical to watch, even though it was a really long time ago, right? And I still think that magic holds, and I think this tournament showed that.
Yeah, Zachary had an event. Leo had an event. Bro.
It boosts it so much.
Yeah, we got Zachary Tweak and Zachary Leo. I was like, thank you. God, like, this is so sick.
Yeah. And then we got Zachary Spargo, which is like,
yeah.
Dude,
like,
right?
Like, it's happened before.
That might have been my favorite set.
I said it on a commentary, but you know, the way we did it for who we wanted invited to the throne, like bypassing the voting phases, was we all individually came up with lists of who we wanted to see there, which we'll talk about more on the Patreon episode. But spoiler, I think Zachary was unanimously number one overall by like a pretty large margin. Like if he wasn't number one on someone's list, he was number two. Yeah. And it was like
every
basically
staff member was down for Zachary.
I had like Ashimo number one and then Zachary two or something, you know, like it would be something like that where it's like this person just clearly has like a favorite player that's uninvited yet. So happy to break all that down a little bit more on the Patreon episode. But the other thing I wanted to say too is, you know, Rimu, it's kind of like the opposite where Rimu had like kind of it felt like more of a rough pool gauntlet phase type deal, but then a good final bracket beating Mars and then getting a, so that's what I would say about Rimu's run is he beat Mars, which is the tough matchup, and then his reward was that he got to play against Riddles, which is like the good matchup for him to get. Low key, actually, I wanted to talk to Marcus about this. Which fighting game character do you think does best against Min Min?
Ryu?
Come on now. Come on now.
It's Terry or Ryu?
Nope.
I think it's Terry, probably.
It's Ken. Come on now.
No, man. No.
Neutral air beats Ram Ram. Come on. He can just jump
so
in.
So does Ryu's neutral air.
Nuh-uh. It tiny does. He can't move, though. Come on now. It's Ken. I told Riddles that after. He's like, low key. I was like, nice.
Nah. I don't know. They're all rough. They're all rough. Like,
it's not good. Yeah, it's not good. Yeah, no matter what, no matter which way you slice or dice it.
Terry.
It could be Terry. It could be.
It's kind of like asking a Diddy Kong player who does the best. It's like,
yeah,
who cares?
They get smoked. They most get of the time. Like I just, it is what it is.
I don't know. They're all tough. It's not Kazuya. I think Kazuya probably does.
I think so too. I think that's fair.
Like
it's probably Ken. Yeah, that's true.
By a bit. Sure. Like, you know, hey, it's Ken.
There you go. That's all.
You got
there
it.
You go.
Ken beats Min Min, I think.
Thank you.
Yep. Hey.
Yep. Probably.
Well, I don't know.
The Neutralair beats the arms. Did you know that?
It beats the Ram Ram. Just the Ram Ram. Hold on. It doesn't beat all the arms.
That's what Has told me. So.
No, my God. When you gave me that bad info about Pit and Dark Pit, I was so mad at you.
Wait, what?
So I said to Gavin, I'm like, the only differences between Pit and Dark Pit are arrow and like arrow side B, right?
F toe.
Yep.
Wait, I just made that up.
That's what Gavin told me. He goes, no, and
I just
F-toe.
Made
like,
that up.
I
just
was like,
made
really?
That up.
I had really, this. F-toe? And he goes, yeah, Pit's F tilt is stronger. I was like, what the
no.
Fuck? I was like, really? Okay.
I don't even know.
It wasn't the last game.
Is that
so
what
I
it is?
I said that on commentary, and I ate shit. And I was like, just so you all know, this is from Tweak, who knows the most about this game. This is not my fault. I'm just quoting him. So, ready for that
applause. Bro, I swear it was a thing in the last game.
Maybe? Because why was I so ready to say that?
Yes,
because I played
Smash
them.
4.
That made me feel better too, though, Marcus, that you thought it as
in
well.
Smash 4 is like, bro, if you play Pit and you catch the neutral, get up with the F-tilt, it's more rewarding.
Big well, brain. Guess what? Not applicable in this game. See ya.
It's just IV and neutral V.
I do want to say to you, Gavin.
Who I cares, told you this bro? Actually. I don't give a fuck.
I know. That's great.
All right, moving on.
I want to say,
whatever pit you like most.
Speaking of pit,
wait, real quick.
Go ahead.
Before, yeah, I did want to say, and I told you this when we were getting ready one day to leave. But your commentary, Gavin, is actually fire. It's actually pretty good.
I messaged him about.
Yeah, and you have the top player advantage, so you can't just be like chat likes it because they'll like it pretty much no matter what because you're a top player.
I was seeing a lot of chat. It was crazy. Yeah,
you were legitimately good. I think so you know a ton, obviously, as a top player, and that's like
I one just of your use my is, cheat code. That's my thing.
Yeah, and you know so much about the game, and you're able to like predict and see what. Obviously, you know better than most casters and most people on the planet what players are gonna. It's not even about like. Yeah, you were great at casting DK because you love DK, which is like akin to Charles casting Fox, right? Like that's kind of similar vibes, but you're also you, which is a different level. But then it was like Riddles versus Shattuck, and it's like, all right, well, this guy doesn't know shit about these characters. Nope, just kidding. He knew a lot about the characters, but then also what the players were doing and catching out of habits and calling things games ahead of time and stuff like that. And it was for the first time in a while, the first time I was really inspired on commentary in a way where I was like, I need to study again and more. It's been a really long time since I felt that way because I feel like I often am taking the lead when it comes to knowledge in the game because I still play a lot. I'm like a lot of casters don't play that much anymore. It's just an older game at this point, but I still play a decent amount. So I always feel like I am at least keeping up with my co-caster or like know a little more than them. That was not the case with you. So it was definitely something that inspired me to be like, I need to hit the lab and just do better in that way because it certainly is possible. You're a fucking professional, so that's a little different. But it's definitely something where I was like, oh, definitely something I could learn from. So there you go.
Dude, appreciate it. Marcus probably wasn't surprised. It's just it's why I'm good at the game. It's just a strength I have.
Yeah, you're just reading players that you've beaten before in bracket on the mic. Yeah, he's going to jump here. Oop, okay, yeah. Good stuff, Shattuck. I would have done the same. but that kind of stuff coming from an actual top player is different. When a commentator does it that obviously doesn't play at that level, that's when it's like, okay, buddy, chill the fuck out. You're just watching the game, right? Like, you don't play at that level. And I mean, that's why I always every good commentator makes sure to give their roses to the top players, right? They work very hard to be able to do that. But you know what's crazy, Haz? I had a similar feeling with Paris on the mic. I wouldn't say like just... I mean, even, I don't know, it like just game, I would even say sheer game knowledge wise. And then obviously like the intuition from, you know, players like Paris and Light that really deep dive. And it's crazy too, because even when I was commentating with Paris this time, I was like, wow, I could just tell he studied the game more and did more VOD reviews just because of I've commentated with Paris before at other invitational events like Summit that are similar to this. And yeah, I can just tell through your guys' play and through just talking to you guys about the game or casting with you guys that you guys put a lot of time into, like, more so studying and stuff. Because I feel like pre-quarantine era, not a lot of the top players did deep dives or studying or anything like that. There was some, but I think it's more of a thing maybe because you guys are getting more into it or it's getting more competitive. I'm not too sure, but yeah, it was a treat to commentate with any of the players on the mic that I got a chance to do this weekend.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
How do you like casting, Gavin? Like, do you enjoy it? Like, I'd love to hear your perspective.
Tired after.
Dude, see, that shit
And I wasn't even tryharding, bro. Half of it was troll.
There's like, a lot of people that are like, oh, you get tired after commentary? I'm like, dude, it takes a lot of energy.
A lot, yeah.
Because I was also just like trying to match the energy and like we were just like having fun with it a lot of the time. So like that was really funny, but it was funny, bro. Oh my God.
Dude, me, you, Coney, and Mars.
Yeah.
Very hilarious, yeah.
Well, Marcus had the same reaction that Mars did.
You did.
Dude.
So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And also just trying to, like, I don't know. Like watching DK was cool.
Because at this point, when you got on the mic...
Amazing, so...
When you got on the mic, you were pretty much done, right? Because you didn't have to do Gauntlet. Is that a big reason why? That was Saturday, right?
I think so. I mostly did it because Mars asked me to.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
like, oh, you want to commentate with me? I was like, yeah, if they let us. Yeah, so I like Riddle, Shattuck, Chunky Riddles, Shattuck. I don't know if I'm repeating myself. It was like a couple different things. It was cool. Spargo, Rimu at one point. That was cool. Tilde, Candle. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Maybe that's something in the cards later on in my life, I guess. I never thought it would be, but...
Kevin on the mic.
I had a good time. Chat seemed to think my casting was pretty good, so I'll take it. The thing is, I think if I'm not actively playing, like if I'm not an active competitor, my casting might become trash. Like I just use cheat codes because I still play.
I feel it way all the time, and that's why. Remember that one time where Jackal was like, he's like, no offense, Haz, but like, why do you still play like so much and stuff? He's like, seriously, no offense. Like, you don't have any tournaments or anything. Why do you play? I'm like, well, first off, I think it would be dumb if I had an opportunity to play against him and you, Gavin, and Light. I'm like, I think it'd be dumb for me to not do that. That's so cool. And the other part is it helps casting a lot. Just even if, though I'm not a top player, well, jury's still out, but we'll see. Even though I'm not a top player, it helps so much to see what you guys do or what to look for and to do all that stuff. So I feel that.
I just had an idea because I randomly have ideas. You know what would be crazy at an event like this is if there were a commentary block without the commentators. It's only like Tweak, Light, Mars.
Nope.
What?
Not going to do it because then we'll lose our jobs.
Yeah, they're too knowledgeable. They know too much.
Dude, I think it would be very interesting to see because everyone has a different approach to the game. And they're all very knowledgeable about the people they're playing against. Like, one of the things Light immediately said when I forgot who Mudace was playing, but he was like, yeah, Mudace is a huge shielder, so you should go for a lot more grabs against Mute. And he just kept pointing out, like, oh, Mute shielding here, Mute shielding here. Like, you should look for grab there. And I don't know if like other players know that about Mute, you know what I mean? So
yeah, they'll be like, oh snap, all right.
Oh snap. Like, and then like see how they would like bounce the ideas off of each other, like how they would develop playing the match out, knowing certain things or like habits they're pointing out or just like thought processes. I think that would be really interesting. I don't know.
Or watching them argue with each other. That's always
interesting. Yes, they would also argue with each other. Yes.
It would be great because I feel like they all do content too that's either like Smash adjacent or Smash, but not talking to each other specifically about the game. Like you said, they all look at it in such a different way. They all achieve success. I mean, there's obviously fundamental rules that doesn't change about Smash and things you can identify, but yeah, I think that'd be awesome. I've always pitched like kind of a reversal thing where players casters playing and like talk shit about them and like make fun of them.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Yeah, I know, but no, all other casters are cowards and don't want to play.
You would get
even though it would do great for our event and even though it would make us a lot of money.
I'm down to play. I still know how to match with Fox, baby.
You do, actually. You're playing well this week. I'll say it. I'll say it, Chuck.
Y'all would get roasted on
I know. But that
that's funny, though.
Yeah. I know it is, but I'm telling you, I pitched this a million times before.
No, I think it's a great idea.
We do it and next time.
So my one thing, Pink, and this is with players casting in general. Obviously, there are players that are more experienced with casting, right?
Yeah. I mean,
definitely like Tweak, Void. I mean, DeBuzz has done a good amount of casting, mm-hmm. right? Like there's obviously players. I mean, I think Iken does well in casting too. So there's definitely players that are more experienced casting, but at least when we're doing Summit and even for the throne, if there's ever a point where four players would want to cast, we would probably at least have one caster with three players just so the one caster can kind of be like the host, if you will, and guide the conversation. So it doesn't get buck wild. Right. So
no, I think that's part of the fun.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, just fuck it, four players.
We have to be up there playing like shit. They can be up there sounding like idiots.
Oh, I see. If it's not for a actual match in the tournament, that's my POV. Yeah, because if you wanted to have a bunch of players for any of the tournament matches, I think it's absolutely fine if you just have a caster to kind of guide the conversation.
The thing I'll say too, though, is just because players are good at the game doesn't mean they'll be good casters. It's kind of like,
it's true.
Follow the NFL, Tony Romo versus Tom Brady. That should say something to you in terms of how they are as casters. So, because there are top players who have hopped on and they're like, I don't know what the fuck to say. And they just like freeze up. I don't know what to do. And it's like, I don't know. But yeah, everyone that hopped on this weekend was great. Void was great. Gavin did really well. Tyler did, Mars did great. And
I had a lot of fun commentating with Void in top eight. The first half of top eight, it was definitely a pleasant surprise. I was like, wow. It was more of a last minute switch, is what I'm saying. But it was very fun. That world's great. And it was the first half of top eight too, which is crazy. And for me, my favorite match happened. Oh, around the horn. What was your guys' favorite set? Mine was definitely Spargo Leo first set.
Spargo Zachary.
Come on. Spargo Zachary, that was a good one.
Spargo Zachary was crazy,
yes,
too.
Spargo Zachary was fucking wild. And that was a day one set.
If I can't repeat a set, I'd say Spargo Hurt. That was wild. Ooh, that was a really good set.
But you can repeat, so.
Gosh, this is tough. There were some good sets this tournament.
There's a lot of good sets. Oh, my. Like, the whole... The whole top 16 bracket was just fire.
I would say Spargo Leo after Spargo Zachary, obviously, but I'll go with Spargo first Zachary. Set,
I like
watching his pit, bro. I just do.
Dude, the up arrow against Spargo, even though he didn't really like complete the clip, that was...
He's smelling blood, bro.
That was hype.
I'm going to say...
Good, though. That means there were so many good sets.
True.
It's true.
Okay, I'll say two, but one. Okay, so I think my favorite set that I watched was probably Spargo's Gavin. Sorry, Gavin. I think both of you played really well.
You played good. That's cool.
You probably disagree and you crow, all that stuff. But I actually thought you approached it very well.
Yeah, I tried something different. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you both made some interesting adaptations throughout the set. Like,
yeah,
you were getting blasted by dash attack at the beginning of the set and then not toward the end, like more back airs and stuff were landing, which was really interesting. It just, you like made him stop going for it. I don't know, there are a lot of like small adaptations throughout the set that I really liked. And I actually really liked Light Leo, even though it was a 3-1, because I love Byleth. So I like, whenever I get to see Byleth, I'm like,
yeah,
it's up. And that and because Paris was playing so well, and Leo I thought was playing pretty well. I think the Violets was in practice, but not in practice in that specific matchup. Paris was getting a lot more creative, especially on the recoveries. He got away with a lot of side Bs to ledge, but that up B straight up at the end,
straight
I was
up
like,
bro,
you got it, bro. Like, like what can you say after that? Like, if it's like one of those things where, like, if Leo read it, then, hey, good on Leo. But, like, you got to make him choose something a little different. Of course he's going to go for the down air. It's, like, the easiest win con. But I don't know. So that
– if a lot of Leo read that, though, that would have been one of the most insane moments, bro.
If he read that, it's like, bro. I mean, you saw the triple counter. He was short hop counter. Bro, was that man was reading some stuff this weekend. So
that shit was OD, bro.
That joint,
the triple counter.
That joint, it's like one of those things that's
it was kind of mean.
That's what I'm saying. It's so disrespectful that when it's happening, like, what do you even?
I want to look
as
away.
A player.
Dude, we were freaking out on the comms. Cosmos actually made a really funny tweet talking about it, but it was just so funny because Void mentioned about how Leo's the best Joker player using Rebel's Guard, and literally the next game, triple Rebel's Guard. Go is still on the screen, just.
Dude, I think about that a lot because we do have the crowd mic. I was like, oh yeah, actually Void is right. Hit this button a little bit.
True. Leo's just like, it was actually a misinput every time.
Leo's like, he do be mashing.
The upbeat one was like kind of whatever. It's just like your
dude, the one on the
up-y,
get up attack.
But the get up like, attack is like, oh,
that's the one where it was just like, I feel like right when the get up attack got countered, the stock was done at that point. Like,
yeah, because it's like, why would you Rebel's Guard get it? You know how many different
and then
ways
he gets
you can
another
punish
one
get up attack? Like, you could go for harder punishes on get up attack. Like, but bro wanted to send a message. Yeah, you're get up attacking right now. Let me get this meter. Until the short hop one on his back air, I was like, oh, no.
Dude, it's crazy because during that sequence, he still doesn't have Arsene. and Spargo has to mash one more time on Rebels Guard, just gets the back air and goes immediate, like, punished with dash attack. Dude, like, dude.
The thing I'll say, you know what it reminded me of a little bit was like shades of like Daigo, like psychic Shoryukens, where it's like if you do them at any point, you get absolutely destroyed. They block it and they kill you in one hit. But since Leo did it, it's like a Leo counter. It's like psychic thing. Like he's just like reading your soul. It's like a different level. So that's what I thought of, at least when that was happening.
Hey, anyway, goat meets goat.
Crazy.
One last thing I'd like to say, thanks to Spargo for showing up and taking care of business. I mean, he's just, when he's playing well, it looks unstoppable. Unreal stuff. You know, and he tweeted about the event and had really nice things to say about it, which really meant a lot. Because he's not affiliated with it in any way aside from being a two-time champion at this point. So it's been a lot to see that from him. And he's like the new generation. So seeing like us old heads put on an event and him like really love it and want to be a part of it and stuff and defend the throne.
Yeah.
It's just really cool. So I just really appreciated Spargo. I just appreciate everyone this weekend. So
it's everyone good. Played their hearts out, man. I felt like the players were like just playing their absolute hardest, man. I love seeing amazing gameplay that comes from that, obviously, and you know the players just enjoying the event and competing at what they all feel like is the highest level because they're all putting their hardest into it. That environment is it's so uplifting. I don't know, it's very uplifting, it's very inspiring. After it's crazy because I still will play Ultimate here and there, but after watching a tournament like that, I just feel like booting up the game. That's how I know
a
tournament
to it, or if that's how you know it's a really good one, bro.
Yes, like if you
everybody was saying on the timeline.
Yeah.
Well, Gavin, any final thoughts on the throne before we get into some Patreon content?
Not really. I really love what y'all have to say about it. I appreciate that you guys are very appreciative of everyone. And I also appreciate all the work y'all put into it. Because it's not always going to show to everyone. So a lot of it's behind the scenes. So I'm very grateful that the event even exists at all. I think the community really needs it. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to play in both of the throne events so far. Thank you for supporting the show as always, whether it's live or these regular episodes. It's a fun time either way. But we're probably going to get into some bonus content now. Thank you so much. Have a good one.